Welcome to Section 9. My name's Damien Hull.
And I'm Dorothy. And in this episode, we're going to be discussing the CIS Google Chrome benchmark, as well as some of the challenges that we all face in IT. Whether you're a beginner trying to get into IT and setting up a lab, or you're an IT professional trying to implement something into your enterprise network, everything starts with a project. We put our plan in place and we figure, oh, it's going to take so many hours. And we often find out that it takes a little longer and not everything really works the way that you think is going to. And that was what happened to us with this episode, but we'll get into that in a little bit. One of the things that I'm like super excited about today is episode 20 of Section 9. And let me tell you something. There were times that I did not think we were going to make it. Did you?
Well, I was hoping we were going to make it, but we ran into so many issues. We had problems with our audio. We didn't know how to do a show. We ended up taking a podcasting course.
At the same time as doing labs, trying to do the project, trying to do the podcast.
Right. And what you talked about in terms of IT projects happens to us all the time. Mm-hmm. We think they're going to be, you know, a couple hours, and then it takes us days, if not weeks, to figure out how to get a project done. And we're project oriented.
And for me, you know, that I'm trying to get into IT, I go, wow, if I have to do this in an enterprise environment and I only got a 2-hour window to be able to implement this thing, if this happens to me, what am I going to do? And then Damien goes, well, it does happen in real life too. It happens in an enterprise environment. So it's something that as IT people, we're all going to deal with that. So one of the things that was rather obvious for us, and actually this was one of the experiences that we had with this episode when trying to put it together, was that we're going to share with you firsthand what happened with our project and how this became really clear for us. The CIS Google Chrome benchmark, we decided to do that because it has so many cool features. We did Ubuntu last week and it was really technical. Worked pretty well because we're doing this on a server and, you know, the benchmarks are to be working in an enterprise environment. But when we're looking at the CIS Google Chrome benchmark, things were a little bit different. So let's remind everyone what CIS security controls are.
So the CIS is the Center for Internet Security, and we've talked about them a lot. And the critical security controls, there's 20 of them, and these are designed to help you keep your organization safe. And they have recommendations for firewalls and intrusion detection and things like that. The benchmarks are a little different. These are the things that you're going to apply to applications like Google Chrome. We have things for Ubuntu 16.04. You can do one for Windows 7, Windows 10. And these are configuration settings that are going to make those systems or applications more secure.
So you have recommendations, and then the benchmarks are configurations.
Well, they're all recommendations. You're not gonna pick all of them. So when you look at the benchmark, that, you know, like in this particular case, I think it's like 48 pages with a bunch of stuff in there. So like I said in last episode, I thought this was going to be something that, oh, you implement all of them. No, you pick and choose. So the ones that you picked, I think are really good for our own Google Chrome settings.
Well, what's really cool about it is that even though it's a benchmark to be done in an enterprise environment, you can actually personally go into your Google settings and do some of the security things yourself to keep your account more secure. So let's get started with the first one. The first selection we did was to ensure that continue running background apps when Google Chrome is closed is set to disable. What does that mean?
So by default, when you open up Chrome, there's a bunch of stuff that runs when you do that. And then when you're done and you close out of Chrome, it's actually still running in the background with its plugins. And if there's any other apps that go along with that, all of those are running in the background. You may have insecure applications or plugins, and those are running in the background. So the recommendation is to disable those because that could be a pretty big security vulnerability for your organization or for you at home. So you want to make sure those are turned off.
So what was the first problem that we ran into when after we sat in there and we're like, okay, yeah, we're doing this and we try to test it?
So when you look at the document, again, it's enterprise oriented.
Right.
So they really want you to use group policy for this. So they have two things in there. They have a registry key setting, and then they have a group policy setting.
And when they do the audit after you set this up, so the audit is done through the registry key, right?
Right. So there's a registry key because you want to check and see if the registry key is set through group policy. Well, we don't have a domain environment configured for this lab. So we thought, oh, if we just apply the registry key, it should just work. So we went through RegEdit and we tried to edit my Windows 10 registry and apply these settings. And what happened?
Yeah, we realized that still the user could change the settings. So you weren't really doing anything that would prevent anybody, if they had access to your computer, to actually not change the settings.
And
so we realized that we needed to set up a server with Active Directory and then do the group policy, so that way it can be set safe in your environment and the actual user cannot change the settings.
Right.
So why don't you tell everybody what the settings are if they wanted to change it into their Google Chrome?
Right. So we tried to figure out, okay, if you don't have Active Directory and group policy, mm-hmm. how can you implement some of these? So for this particular option, you open up Google Chrome, you go to settings, and then there is a show advanced settings option. You click on that and you'll see all of the advanced settings below that. So then you're going to go to the system section and you're going to uncheck the option that says continue running background apps when Google Chrome is closed. When you do that and you close Google Chrome, it should no longer be running, including right. all of the apps. And you can go into your system tray and see if that's actually running in there, because if it's running in the background, you'll see that Google Chrome icon. If it's not there after you close it, then you know that particular option has been set correctly.
Right. And for the next options we're going to discuss, we're also going to put in the show notes, you know, how to do that in your own Google settings on your personal one. So if you wanted to do it, you'd be able to look at that.
Right.
So in the past episode, there were level one and level two. This is a level one.
Right.
And can you remind everybody about level one and level two?
So the basics of level one and level two is simple. Level one options are relatively safe. You may need to do some testing, but they're relatively safe. So if you implement those, you shouldn't have any issues. Level two is a bit different. You need to test those, because if you implement them, you may actually break something.
Okay. So the next recommendation that we decided to select was ensure configure extension installation blacklist is set to enable for all extensions. Tell us about that.
So this is a nice one. I actually like this. And what this does is you're specifying which extensions somebody can run. And the recommendation is to do a default blacklist or deny all extensions. And then you're going to create a whitelist. And you're going to say, okay, here's the four or five extensions I'm allowing users to have access to. All the other extensions are denied. So there are extensions that may be a security risk to your organization. And the ones that they really mention here are the ones that allow somebody to have remote access to the system. You want to make sure those are not enabled.
Right.
And by doing that default blacklist or deny policy, you just specify the ones you want, and it's pretty simple.
So it's kind of like a firewall. Everything is closed until you only open the services that you need and the ports that you're using, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, the next one is Password Manager. Tell us about that.
So by default, Chrome will offer to manage your passwords. So when you go and log into Chrome or your Google account, your Facebook account, you know, whatever account you have online, it will offer to remember that password for you so that you don't have to put it in yourself.
And what is the recommendation for this?
So the recommendation for this is to turn it off.
Why?
Because the rationale for this, or the reason why they want you to do this, is that somebody could copy all your saved passwords. There is an application called Web Browser Passview, and we'll put a link to this in the show notes so you can see what this thing is all about.
Who makes that?
And then this is by Nearsoft.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do with this app is it allows you to steal all the passwords that are saved in Chrome.
So if somebody were to have access to your computer briefly or whatever, they could actually copy all your passwords by running this?
Correct.
So the next one is to ensure default cookie setting is set to enable to keep the cookies for the duration of the session only.
What this one is talking about is your cookies and how long you're going to be saving the data for those cookies. So by default, in my own Chrome browser, it's going to save the
allow cookies.
Cookies forever, meaning that the cookie is always there and all the data within the cookie is there. Even when I close Chrome, the cookies are there. So what they want you to do here is get rid of that feature. So when you enable this and you close a session, so let's say I log into Facebook, there's my username and password that gets put in there. It's open. I'm in. There's a cookie for that. And I don't fully understand how cookies work. I'm not a web developer, but I think my credentials are part of that cookie so that I can open up another tab in Facebook and I'm already in. It's whole part of that whole process. When I close out of Chrome, that data is still there. So by enabling this feature, you're getting rid of that. So when the session's gone or you close out of Chrome, the cookie or the data that was in that cookie is no longer there. And I don't think you're going to be able to just automatically go to Facebook. I think what's going to happen is when you try to go to Facebook, it's not going to allow you to log in. I mean, it's
well, actually, you tested this. And one of the things that was really cool is when we first looked at it, it said 9 cookies were just for the Facebook thing. But what you did was you ended up, or the test was, we closed, you were logged into Gmail, and then you closed the browser. And then you went back in it, and you were still logged in. And this is before changing the setting to only keep the cookies while the session was running.
Right. And so the setting that we changed was we went into the advanced settings, and I think it's privacy settings, and there's a cookie section in there. So by default, it saves the cookies forever. The one below that allows you to say, okay, when Chrome is closed, get rid of your cookies. Delete the data that's in there. So when we selected that setting, closed Chrome, and then we went back into Chrome again and looked at my Google account, it was requiring me to enter in my username and password. So again, it worked before where it automatically logged me in. And then the second time we did it, when we made the change to that setting, it didn't allow me or it didn't automatically log me in because the data in the cookie was gone. So I think that this is a really good setting. You may have to test it because there could be websites where this doesn't work and you have to keep that cookie forever. So something you may have to take a look at.
But you know what is really interesting is even only implementing two of them, the one where you shut all the apps and processes running in the background when you close the browser, and the one where you delete the cookies and only keep the cookie for the time the browser is open. That right there gives you a lot more security. I mean, just a couple of them. And again, this document is about 43 or 46 pages long. You got a lot to choose from. And what I find really cool is that you can actually do it in your Google Chrome settings for your own personal PCs. And, you know, eventually when we do a lab, perhaps we can actually just set up Active Directory and just test it.
So the ones that we selected, we know you can go in there and find some sort of a setting within Chrome to kind of mimic what they're saying for that particular recommendation from the CIS document. Some of the other ones may not have an option.
Right.
Because we haven't seen them. So you may have to have Active Directory and group policy to implement some of these things. But for the ones that we've chosen, there is an actual setting within Chrome itself that you can apply to have something similar to that or the exact same thing.
Yeah. And when I take my Server Plus, we're going to be doing server projects. And I would like to try this in my server project.
Right. And then one of the other things we were looking at, too, we talked about this as a future project, is to take a look at the Windows 10 settings from CIS.
Right.
And look at the benchmarks for that.
Oh, that'd be really cool.
I went ahead and briefly looked at that because I was looking at the Chrome ones with you. And I thought, well, this is kind of more enterprise level. They want group policy and all of that. Let's go and take a look at the Windows 10 settings and see what's required for that. And that's another one where they're assuming you're in an enterprise environment and you have Active Directory and you're going to be using group policy.
Right.
Now, some of those you may not be able to do at all from your own personal settings. It may have to be done through group policy because that's the only way it's going to get applied.
Right. But, you know, when you're looking at these documents and you're looking at some of the things that you can do even through group policy, it's an asset if you know it's there, if you know that you can apply it into your enterprise environment and make your environment more secure. So, you know, it's there.
Right. But this goes back to what you were talking about, you know, early on, where you have these IT projects and then all of a sudden the IT project becomes more complicated. It's going to take longer because you've done the research on this and you realize, oh, wait a minute. This is not a simple setting. I need to have this with group policy, like in the case of our CIS, you know, benchmarks for Chrome and Windows 10. We can't really do a lot with these things unless we have an enterprise environment with Active Directory and group policy.
Right.
So now when we go forward in the future and we want to try to implement these things or test them and learn how they work, what are we going to have to do? We got to set up a, you know, 2012 server, 2016 server. We got to break out a switch. We got to get a Windows 10 workstation going.
Right. And this is what we were talking about earlier. You know, in order for us to be able to share with you what we've learned, we have to be able to put it in a lab and test it and see that it works and see that it can be implemented. And if we run into a snag, you know, see if we can figure out, okay, is this something we did or is this something that, you know, the specific equipment or software is something that you cannot implement. Like, you know, we found out that certain things we could not do with pfSense. You just found that in your IRC last week with the boys were talking. So it's like, you know, this is what it's all about. You play with it. And that's one of the best things you ever said to me as a noob. You said, play with your devices, play with the IT stuff. Don't be afraid to go and do everything, you know, feed in. If it doesn't work, wipe it out and start over, you know, and that is what this is about.
And two, one of the things I think is really important to talk about is that a lot of people don't understand how to implement security. When it comes to security, they talk about how do we hack into different things? How do we, you know, play around with these hacker tools? And that's fine. And you can do that. And you can actually learn a lot by doing that. Mm-hmm. But then when it comes to making sure your organization is safe, how do you do that? Well, the CIS critical security controls is one way of doing that. Looking at the benchmarks is another way of doing that. And what we're finding out is that they're there. People may talk about them if they're on the security side. Now, there's a lot of people in IT who don't even know these things exist.
Right.
But even on the security side, people will talk about these things. And then when it comes time to implement them, they're kind of vague about that whole process because they haven't done it themselves.
Right.
And so what we can do is we can say, hey, I've taken the time to look at these documents. I've taken the time to figure out what the controls are. We looked at the top five.
And how to implement them and right. what we learned from that. And that's one of the things that I don't understand. There's so much out there that is free and available for all of us. And I think sometimes it's hard to implement, and that's why people may not look at them, or they may look at it and go, my gosh, this is so overwhelming. You know, we looked at that on that Ubuntu document. In this one, it's a lot less pages, but you saw the amount of things that were there. And you also, you know, what's nice about it is that you can implement, you know, some of them into your Google settings, and it works well, and it can keep you more secure. But just understand that when you're doing it into an enterprise environment, it takes a little bit more than just one laptop and the little settings in a web browser, you know?
And then the other thing that we want to talk about here too, and I think this is really important, is that for Section 9, we have our own equipment, and it's not in a domain environment. And you have Linux, mm-hmm. Windows. I have the same thing. Some of my stuff's Linux, some of my stuff's Windows. We don't have a Mac, so we don't have to worry about that side of things. But then the question is, okay, we have these CIS documents. We're looking at the benchmarks. We want to make our stuff more secure. How do we do that without an enterprise environment? How do I make sure that my Windows 10 system, my laptop, my Surface Pro is secure without Active Directory and group policy? So we were able to take the CIS recommendations for Chrome and try to match those up to something we have in the settings for Chrome so we don't need Active Directory. So that's going to be the interesting thing as we go forward is I want my Windows 10 system to be more secure. How am I going to do that without AD and group policy? So that's going to be a big challenge moving forward is that in our current environment, how do we use these things? And I think that's one of the things that you're going to see a lot of is that you're going to have people who say, okay, What are good practices? CIS is one place to go to. How do we implement them in our situation? Well, that's another thing you have to take a look at. And we can say we've done that. We've seen it. We know how that kind of works.
Right. And then the difference on the levels. You know, the level one thing was fairly simple. But when you're getting into level two, to where you're looking at maybe taking down your network because something's not working correctly, and then trying to put everything back together may take a little longer. That's a lot of lost time. So, you know, I think, and that is the reason why when we're doing the network, is like, I don't really just want to start a brand new network and then do a brand new network again. I wanted to kind of extend the network and see how, if I can make it work. And this next one that we're doing is really complicated, you know, the next homework that you gave me on that. So there is a lot of aspects of IT. It's a vast field. It changes in the blink of an eye. So there is a lot. I don't think we get enough credit for what we have to do in IT.
Yeah. And so as we move forward, I mean, we made it to episode 20. Mm-hmm. As we move forward, I think things are not going to get easier. They're going to get harder.
Right.
Because as you've said, your lab is pretty difficult. You're working on your networking piece. So we need that to be sort of defined for section 9,
right,
so that when we say, hey, we need a complex lab, you can put it together. You have, right, documentation, you have our standards, you have things that we've agreed upon, you put all of that together. It's difficult now because you've never seen that before.
Right.
But once you're done, and this goes back to a lot of the things that we want to learn in IT, and the reason why we're doing all of this is that we want to be able to say, we've done that, we've seen it. Even if we're not experts, we have some idea of what's going on.
Not even that. I mean, me trying to take my Network Plus exam, you know, and I failed. And it's like, you know, these questions they were asking me, I can honestly tell you, I can go back to those questions right now. And the only reason why I know the answer is because I have practical knowledge of the devices and how things work. I could have memorized the thing and still don't know what it means. And I probably could have looked at some of the questions and go, I have no idea what they're talking about. And, you know, perfect example, spanning tree. When I had to do spanning tree, I would have never, I know that it prevents looping. That is all I can tell you, right? Once that I started playing with the devices and I saw how it worked and how the ports, you know, were configured, that was one thing. I also experienced when you turn it off, how bad things can be. And how it got screwed up and how we had to redo the entire thing. That is something that a book is not going to tell you. And I can honestly tell you this. I've been lucky enough to have you telling me, play with the devices. You know, put a virtual machine there. You know, put Windows 7 or Windows 10 or Server 2016, whatever. Do Active Directory. You know, configure DNS. Things like that, DHCP, all of that, do your pool of addresses. You know, everything that you read in the book, yeah, you have to have a pool of addresses and you have to do this and that and the other. But knowing what it's for and having practical experience, no book can teach you that. And a lot of them assume you know a certain amount of basic network or IT, and it doesn't. So if you're ever discouraged because you're like, I can't figure this out, I'm passing on what Damien said to me, play with the devices, because all of a sudden what you read is going to go, oh, this is what it meant. So thank you for that.
Yeah. And I've been in job interviews where people have asked about these things.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can at least say, oh, I know what you're talking about because I've done this, or I know what you're talking about because I've read about that, or I know what you're talking about because I actually did a lab using some of that. Even if you're using the open source or free tools that are out there, at least you know what somebody's talking about. So, you know, when it comes to things like the CIS, critical security controls, or the benchmarks, when we go into that job interview, and I actually had somebody talk about these kinds of things in a job interview, where they are using the CIS critical security controls in their own organization, and they're trying to implement these things. So I can say, hey, I know what you're talking about. I've read about that. I've tried to implement some of that. Now, when it comes to somebody asking about the actual benchmarks, I can say, hey, I've read some of them. I know what they're talking about. I can share my knowledge. I've tried to do it for Ubuntu 16.04. I've tried to do it for the Google Chrome. And so I think these are things that are going to help us going forward. We're going to be those people that have actually done some of this. And you meet a lot of people in IT who talk about some of the basic things, but then when it comes time to using the tool or implementing something, you ask them about that and they have no idea what you're talking about.
No, it's difficult, and especially if you're trying to get into IT and somebody that have no idea what they're talking about interview you, and you give them an answer and they're like not understanding, it's hard. I've been through one of those interviews and it was not a pleasant thing.
So if I can say, you know, episode 20, how are we doing? What did we learn? I think for me, the big thing here is we've come a long way from where we were. We were struggling to try to figure out how to do IT projects. We were struggling to figure out how to do the show. And even way before that, I think we were having issues in the way that we were trying to learn IT. And now we kind of have a format that goes with the show and our projects that's more focused on like your Net Plus certification. What are the things you need to know for that? And why didn't you pass last time? Well, because you had never used these things. So for me, having that experience with the devices and then going back and saying, okay, what's the book say? What are they wanting in terms of questions? Oh, this question's about spanning tree. I know what spanning tree is. I did a lab on that.
Well, and not only that, for me, actually, and what we're doing in developing the checklist when we do projects, because eventually I can honestly tell you of the projects we have done, I kept a notebook of the checklist, the network diagram, the configurations. I can pretty much see myself one day, if I ever have to apply them, I can go to my book, and while it may not be exactly the same, the basics are there. How the devices connect, how the network diagram is put together, the subnetting, you know, all of that. And I think that's an asset. For me, I think the hardest or the biggest waste of time in IT was trying to just learn from the book and thinking that you can actually pass the test. Because even if you're like one of these people that can memorize all the questions and say all the right things, I think when you get to your work environment, how do you apply them? If you don't know what this means, how do you plug in a device? How do you know where the console port is if you've never grabbed the cable and plugged it in? You know, and even when you know, I mean, it's like the IT crowd. Have you tried turning it on and off? You know, when you were talking about your legacy device that had a switch on and the new ones don't, and the guy plugged it in thinking, okay, it's not working. Did you flip the switch, you know? So those are things that for me is very valuable, learning the layers to troubleshoot. Layer one, layer two, what device is this? What layer of the OSI model is in there? I used to think the OSI model was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to even look at it. But when you're looking at it and putting the devices together and saying, okay, this is going to save me a whole lot of time on troubleshooting if I know my switch is layer two, or if I knew my router is layer three. You know, those are things that for me are so valuable. And if I can, you know, you share that with me, I'm lucky enough that you're helping me to figure this out when for you, you didn't have that benefit of the doubt. You had to like take long amounts of time to learn a lot of things, you know, and for me, it's like, I will be looking at something and you go, well, this is something you're not going to know because, and I know this because it took me 3 days to figure this out when somebody actually told me this. You know, those are things we want to share with each other and with our listeners, because if it can save any of you time and you can look at things, good for you. You can move on to the next thing that you need to learn to make it in your IT career. So for me, I'm really grateful we made it this far. I'm really looking forward to learning more about my networking and how to put the projects together. And I love the security part of it. I just can't wait until I can catch up to where you're at and actually understand it a little better and not just kind of have to hang on your tail and understand, you know, some of the other things.
Well, that's the cool thing here. You know, you're almost done with all of your networking projects. I think you're close to being at that point once you get all your homework assignments done, because you have a bunch of questions you're working on that are network related. And then there's some stuff in there that's more for network planning, which I think you're going to like that. And eventually we'll talk about that in another episode. But I think once you're done with that, you're going to be able to walk into the Net Plus exam and pass that thing. You still have to do some studying to review and say, right, okay, what kind of things do they want me to do here? But I think when you do that, you're going to be really surprised to see how many of those questions, you just answer them And you go, oh, I've seen that. Oh, I've done that. So in my case, for some of the stuff that I want to do, like for the, I'm still working on the Sans NetWars. I still have that. I got an extension. So I'm on level 3. And
explain what NetWars are. A lot of people may not know what they are.
NetWars is, well, it's from Sans. And you get, in the beginning, you have level 1 and level 2. And for that, you have a virtual machine that you run in VMware. And you're going to go through that system and try to answer a bunch of questions. So there's a website you log into. They have all the questions there. These are the flags you're supposed to find. And level 1 and 2 questions are pretty difficult, but they're pretty straightforward in the sense that they want you to do very specific things. Level 3 is more open-ended, where you have to be able to figure out what tools you're going to use and how you're going to break into different systems. Because now it's an actual network that you log into over SSH, and they have certain tools you might use. So there may be something like Metasploit, there may be Netcat, there may be Nmap scans you have to do. How do you use those? When do you use them? And how do you figure out what's really going on with the network that's in front of you that you can't see because you're remote?
So they're asking you to do a certain thing on a network you cannot see, and you have to remotely go in and get that information?
Correct. And you have to hack your way through these different flags that you're going to have to do. So for me, one of the interesting things is, and I've talked about this before, is previous SANS events, or when you look at like even the CIS controls, they're there. Now what? Because now you're being forced to use them. It's like implementing the CIS critical security controls or the benchmarks. Well, when you're doing your other kind of pen testing mode, you have tools like Nmap. You have tools like Metasploit. How do you use them?
Wireshark.
You know, how do we use them? And we've talked about this before. And I think we've gotten to the point now where our show is kind of figured out. We have a process for this. It still takes us forever to record an episode. It still takes a while to edit. But we have a process that seems to be working. And so now what we can do is we can focus more on our labs. We can focus more on the things we want to learn, right? So we have that Kali Linux 2 book that you got.
Right.
I think that's going to be my main focus, along with the cert that I want to take for ITIL, just the basic one. CBT Nuggets has videos for that. I'm going to be watching those. We're now at a point where I think we can move forward in the sense that, oh, I have an idea that I should be learning these things, right? ITIL, Kali Linux, or the things that are in there so that I can work on the SANS NetWars. So when I go back to that, because I got an extension, I can start at level 3. And then if I go through the labs they have in that Kali books or the Kali Linux 2 book, then I'm going to be ready for that and I'm going to get more out of that. So I can learn how to use Metasploit and Nmap better. And then that way, when I go do that, because you got to pay for the, NetWars, I want to be ready to go when I get there. So now that we have certain things figured out, I think, you know, for this episode 20, we're doing pretty good. We have things figured out to a point now where we're going to be moving forward on things.
Yeah. And, you know, and for me, I do want to take my NetPlus, ServerPlus, SecurityPlus, and then go to SANS training. So then that way I'll have a good base to where, because one of the things that you shared with me is that some of the people were having difficulty with the networking part of it because they were just mainly security people. And they were able, they weren't able to use some of the tools or kind of understanding some of things.
Well, they were actually new to security as well. Some of them may have been on some sort of security team.
Right.
But in terms of the knowledge that people had, there was nobody in there that was like super advanced or anything like that.
Right.
And I was surprised how little network knowledge they had in terms of how networks are put together, port numbers, and all of that kind of stuff. So when you go to something like that, I think you're going to be pretty surprised how much more you know than most people there.
And I think you told me this, in some of the big companies that, you know, even if you're doing security, your job may be like this in a box. You do one thing and one thing only, and you may not see what everyone else is doing. So I don't know if that would have been the case for me. I'm just really a curious person. I want to see the whole picture.
And you know, with some of the job interviews that I've had, that's been the biggest challenge. They want you to know a lot about a lot of things.
Right.
So our lab is going to be changing. We're going to get new equipment, assuming we can afford it. There's also those challenges where there's just technology that's too expensive. You know, it's $5, $10, $15, $20, $30,000 for the cheap version. Well, we can't afford to get that. Right. So there are some things that I think we're going to, you know, have to learn something about, but we can't afford to buy the technology.
Right.
So there's that issue, but we still have the ability to play around with our pfSense firewall, our Meraki equipment, our Cisco devices. We have Kali Linux with all of the different security tools in there, like Metasploit, Nmap, Wireshark. There's Metasploitable we can deploy so we can learn how to hack into a box. There's so many things that we can do now, and I think we're at a point where we've figured out how to make all of this stuff work, that we're going to be able to move forward on that. I think it's going to be pretty good.
No, I'm really excited. Like I said, within our budgetary limitations, you know, I think we'll be able to do quite a bit with equipment that we have. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, so am I.
So do you have anything else?
I think that's it. We're going to just spend more time with our CIS critical security controls and our benchmarks to try to figure out how those work better. And we're going to be playing around with more of our devices and tools and doing more projects.
Questions?
Oh, anything? Yes. Hold on. I always forget this last part. If you want to take a look at our show notes, you can see them at section9.us. And we will have steps for making those changes within Google Chrome in there.
Yeah, for your personal settings, right?
Right, for your personal settings. And then some of that stuff for Active Directory. Yeah. And then
Directory, they can actually look at the document. You can just put a link to the CIS benchmark, the Google Chrome benchmark, and they can look at the document because they will have the configuration.
Well, I guess
there,
this
right?
is something that we should point out. The AD settings for that, the template for your, what do we call that now? Now I'm totally drawing a blank. The
registry?
Not the registry, but the group policy editor.
Okay.
The group policy editor, you know, you go to group policy editor and then you have to add in a template.
Right. And you're going to have where you got the template.
Right. I'm going to have a link to the template in there as well.
Yeah,
so
because we had to
all of
that's
going to be in the show notes. And then if you have any comments or questions, you can email us at info@section9.us.
Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks for listening.